Well, we're reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 11. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Let's pray. Father God, as we hear from your word, thank you that it is living and active. Help us to be those who listen to you now. Amen. So what keeps you going? What keeps you going when you are tempted to give up, when you're tempted to stop? Well, a few years ago, I went to a New Year's party at my friend Dave's house. He lived in Derby at the time. Had a fun evening doing one of those murder mystery games. I went to sleep in the early hours of the morning. And then it seemed like not long afterwards, we were woken up by Dave, who incidentally is now in the army, who informed us he'd booked us all on a New Year's Day morning run. We drove over to the Peak District and set off for this 5-mile run. Now, running's not something that excites me very much. I didn't have any trainers, had to borrow some. But once we got going, the thought of a good cooked breakfast, the challenge and encouragement of doing it with friends, and the fact 5 miles wasn't too long, kept me going to the end of the run. Often, it's what we're aiming for that keeps us going. What's coming at the end. Often, it's what's said along the way as we go. What keeps us going? What keeps us going in the Christian life? What keeps us going as Christians? Well, being a Christian is often hard. Maybe you're finding that at the moment. Keeping on trusting Jesus is hard. It's hard when relationships are difficult. It's hard getting to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe your health or someone close to you, close to your health, is a constant worry. Maybe people you love are struggling. How do we keep going? Which is why it was so lovely last week to hear what God wanted for us. God wants us to rest. God wants us to enter his rest, which means our deepest longings for rest are what God wants for us. And we need to keep remembering that, keep remembering where we're going. How do we keep going? God wants us to rest. Rest is the goal. Look down at verse 11. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. We're not there yet, and we need all the help we can get because the journey is hard. We need encouragement. We need challenge to keep us going. We need each other to help us to get there. Let us make that effort. Let us together make that effort. Let us not follow the disobedience of Israel, but let's encourage fellow believers to enter God's rest together. That's what the writer of the Hebrews wants for his readers. He wants them to keep going, and so he challenges them to keep going. Let us make every effort. Now, the next two verses, I think, are a bit of a challenge for us. But remember, why are they written? They are written in love. They are a challenge said in love. Why? Because the writer wants us to keep going. The writer wants us to enter God's rest. Because what's the consequences of not doing that? Well, it's perishing. No one will perish, verse 11. The consequences of not keeping going are serious. So let's hear this together. Two challenges for us this morning. Firstly, from verse 12, the challenge of being confronted with the word of God. the challenge of being confronted with the word of God. How do we hear from God? Well, God reveals himself to us in lots of different ways. In creation, when we look around us, we see God's power. We see something of his character, his amazing creative ability. Through the prophets. A few weeks ago, we heard in the past, God spoke to his people through the prophets. Through Jesus, we also heard, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Now we hear from God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. But how do we find out about Jesus? How do we hear from him today, living 2,000 years later? Well, in his words, in the Bible. As the kids' song goes, God's word is the Bible. The Bible is God's word. We hear from God when we listen to his word, when we hear Jesus speaking to us, when we hear from his word. What do you think of God's word? How do you view these words we've got in front of us on the service sheets now? Well, I think people can often, around us, think that the Bible is at best irrelevant and at worst quite harmful. So what do we think? Well, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So firstly, it's alive and active, living and active. God's word is not some dusty old book. It's alive and active. Now, I enjoy cooking, and I guess there's a certain amount of confidence you can have once you have done a bit of cooking. You can cook without a recipe. But whenever I'm cooking something new or maybe something slightly more complicated, the words on the page of a cookie book are very, very relevant. They're very useful. I read them carefully. I pay attention. The words on the page have power over what I do at that moment. They come to life as I follow their instructions. And how much more so are God's words powerful over our lives? They are living words. They are alive. They are relevant as they could be. They are alive. They work. Where do we see this? Well, we see this in lots of places. Just a couple of references for you. Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. How did God create the world? Through his words. When God said something, let there be light, it happened. God's word created the world. More examples. Another one would be John 14:43, when Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen. God's word works. It is powerful. And it's still powerful today. When we hear it, it is the same word that created the world, the same word that raised Lazarus to life. Alive and active, also sharper than any double-edged sword. Now, different people seem to think that this could be referring to different types of swords. Some say maybe it's a stabbing sword. Others say a surgeon's knife. And I'm sure lots of other thoughts are out there too. But in one sense, it doesn't matter too much what type of sword is being talked about here, because the main point is very clear. It is very, very sharp. Very, very sharp. God's word is very sharp. Going back to cooking, part of the reason I enjoy cooking is because my parents are both good cooks. And my father is not only a good cook, he's very good at keeping his knives sharp. Now, I'm not so good at keeping my knives sharp, so whenever I go and visit and chop up some onions for them to help out with the meal, I'm always struck by how easily the knives cut through whatever it is I've been tasked to chop. But that is nothing compared to the sharpness of the word of God. God's word is so much sharper than any knife, than any double-edged sword. It's the sharpest thing we can imagine. There is no stopping it. It can cut through whatever it reaches. Which leads on to the next bit. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It searches the very fabric of our being. It cuts right into us, into our inmost being, right inside, even between soul and spirit. It searches the very fabric of our being. And also it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Now, by judge, I think this doesn't mean so much judge as in condemn, but more judge as in assess, to see what is there. So when someone asks you to judge a competition, you don't go around condemning, or at least I hope you don't go around condemning people's work. You go around and assess it. You see what they've done. And here God's word is assessing our hearts. God's word doesn't just leave us where we are. It examines us. It confronts us. It assesses us. It gets right inside us. And that is not always easy, is it? It is not always easy. When we do engage with God's word, it can be painful. When we do engage with God's word, it can be challenging. Why? Well, I think it's often because we don't really want to change. The challenge is here that God's word has the power to change us. It's written to change us. So will we let it? Will we let God's word change us as it confronts us? Now, this could happen in a variety of ways. Maybe it's those who wouldn't call themselves Christians. One friend told me how he became a Christian, and it was through reading God's word. When he was at university, he became interested in things of faith, in Christian beliefs, and he got to know a few Christians. And they said, well, the best thing to do is to read the Bible. And he did, and he read through, and he got through to the book of Romans. And he got through Romans, and he reached chapter 8, and he read the first verse of Romans 8, which says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. At all that reading, the penny dropped, and he realized what it was to be a Christian. It is to be, have no condemnation. He prayed, he became a Christian. God's word acted in his life. He was confronted by God's word, and he responded. And I'm sure there might be times when we can think of that that's happened. Maybe it's when we've heard of God's love for us and reassurance has just flooded into our hearts. Maybe when we're told of God's desire for us to rest and gratitude floods into our hearts. Maybe times when we're convicted of our sin and we're spurred to live for Jesus' glory rather than our own. When does this happen? When we hear God's words. That could be when we read it by ourselves. It could be when we read it with others in a home group. It could be when we hear it preached on a Sunday. It could be as part of our church service, as we worship and sing God's words together. Whenever we hear God's word, it is powerful. It confronts us. It should not leave us unchanged. So how does this help us? How does this help us to keep going? God's word is powerful. So listen to it. God's word will keep us going because God wants us to enter his rest. We're confronted with God's word in verse 12. But also verse 13, we're confronted by God himself. We're confronted with God himself. So more briefly, the second point, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God sees everything, all of us, all of our lives. I'm not sure if any of you have come across the Christianity Explored course. It's a course sometimes we do as a church, and I haven't done it for a number of years, but have done it a couple of times. And there's an illustration that really sticks with me from that course. You're invited to imagine yourself in a room, and as you look around the room, you can see lots of pictures and sort of clips of someone's life. And you get a bit closer, and you realise it's you. It's your life. And you see lots of wonderful things there. You see things that you're really proud of, being a good sibling, being a good parent, academic successes, maybe things you're proud of, sporting successes. But then you look more closely and you see there are a lot of unpleasant things as well, because everything has been recorded. The lies you've told, the thoughts you have had, the unkind words you have said, everything is there for anyone who walks into the room to see. What would you do in that situation? Well, I imagine, if you're anything like me, you would get as far away from that room as possible. I imagine you would flee from that as fast as you can. Well, we don't ever really have to face that. We don't have to face that with each other, with other people, because we're quite good at presenting a smart appearance, looking respectable, we're polite, smart, we look good. We can hide some of our true selves from others, but we cannot do that from God. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. We often think we make ourselves busy, don't we, and do this. We hide things from ourselves. We're busy with our work, looking after others, with careers, friendships, family. But we cannot hide our true selves from God. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Again, why are we being told this? It's because the writer does not want us to harden our hearts. We can harden our hearts from each other. We can hide from each other. And that's what Israel did, didn't they? They perished, verse 11, because they were disobedient. They didn't heed the warnings that were given. But what about us? How does this help us? Well, if we remembered that God saw everything, then we wouldn't try and hide. We would throw ourselves on his mercy, because it would just be ridiculous to try and hide from him. We cannot hide from God. We need to throw ourselves on his mercy. Now, this is all slightly heavy. It does come across as a warning, but why are we being warned? Because God loves us, because he wants to protect us from perishing. It is far better to feel uncomfortable than it is to not make it to the rest that God has promised. God and his word confront you. We're being told to take it seriously, but it's for your good because he wants you to keep going. So four applications as we finish at how we could respond, with thanks to David, who gave me the headings for these four applications. So firstly, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Expect this. There should be an element of challenge in being a Christian. Jesus tells us as much. He tells us that being a Christian involves taking up your cross and following him. And as he said that, where was he going? He was going to the cross himself. He was going to his death. So when we encounter God and his word, don't always expect it to be comfortable. In the Narnia books, Mr. Beaver says of Aslan, the Christ-like figure, safe, says Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He's the king, I tell you. Jesus is not safe. Don't be surprised if listening to him involves challenge. God's word should do his work in our lives, and that won't always be comfortable. So when God's word isn't comfortable, don't be surprised. Expect this. Secondly, don't be resentful, but be grateful. Now, these verses, as I've said, are uncomfortable. But God is saying these for our good. He doesn't want us to miss out on the rest we find in Christ. God has given us this good news, his promises, his word to protect us. His word protects us from the deception of sin. Sin does deceive. We do try to harden our hearts. Sin does lure us away from God, and sin will lead us to destruction. But be grateful, because God wants what's best for us, and he tells us what's best for us. It can be difficult when we hear this. It can be difficult to let go of sin. It can be difficult to let go of unhealthy behaviours. It can be difficult to let go of the view that we even need to prove ourselves before God. But God wants us to rest. God knows what's best for us. God's word tells us what is best for us. So don't be resentful. Be grateful, even if it is a challenge at times. God, our Father, is a loving Heavenly Father, and he knows what is best for his children. Thirdly, don't be distant, but embrace God's word. Don't be distant, but embrace God's word. We saw earlier how sharp the word of God is. It cuts right through us. But I think the question for us is not so much, will you let God's word cut into you? It's more, when will you let God's word cut into you? When will you let it assess your hearts? Will you let it do that now? Or will you let it do it when it's too late? What would you rather, be cut open like a surgeon, or later be cut open like a pathologist cuts open? Surgeons cut open, why? To get rid of the unhealthy, to make us healthy, to make us whole again. Pathologists only cut open when it's too late. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will penetrate deeper than any deception of sin. It will penetrate deeper than any deception of sin, and it will reveal what is truly valuable, what is truly worth trusting. Turn from the deceptive promises of sin and trust in the all-satisfying promises of God. Do that now before it's too late. Don't be distant. Embrace God's word. And finally, don't despair, but look to Jesus. Don't despair, but look to Jesus. This has been hard to hear. It's been hard for me to write these words. It's hard to think about. And it can be easy to lose heart. Think, am I good enough? Can I do this? Can I keep going? Can I trust God's word? This is painful. But although in our own strength we can't do this, we do have Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus empathizes with us in our weakness. Jesus empathizes with us in our weakness. And that means we can approach God's throne with confidence. That means we can approach God's throne with confidence. We can keep going. And we're going to hear much more about that next week. We have wonderful news in God's word. So do come back next week to hear more about that. Keep looking to Jesus. He will keep us going to the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your living and active word. Help us, please, to keep looking to Jesus. Help us to keep trusting you. Help us to enter your rest together. Amen.